welcome to Soul Sisters with me, Claire Solon.
And me, Georgie Crawford.
This is the podcast that guarantees plenty of aha moments and lovely white smiles with thanks to our favourite toothpaste, that's Colgate Max White Ultra, guys. We love partnering with Colgate Max White Ultra because we've seen the results. It really does whiten your teeth in just 3 days. You can get Colgate Max White Ultra in Dunnes, Tesco, Super Value and, of course, pharmacies nationwide. Now, this season, we want you to share your reasons to smile, your success stories when it comes to Colgate Max White Ultra. Have you tried it? We want your feedback.
Yeah, so if you're off to a wedding, if you've got a special occasion coming up, we want to know how you got on. And we have heard from one of our soul sisters, Caroline, after we put the call out last week to send us in those stories. And she said that when she went to the dentist asked her what toothpaste she uses. And she proudly replied, because of my soul sisters, Colgate Max White Ultra. So is that not the ultimate compliment when your own dentist notices how white your teeth are and asks you what toothpaste you use?
Mega endorsement. And I hope he went out and got himself some.
Absolutely. So how are you, Claire?
I'm great, actually, this week. I feel like I'm settling into, did I use the term fun employment?
No.
Last week. Well, lots of people have said to me, hey, you know, you shouldn't take this period of time for granted and you should probably turn your focus onto your personal life, which we all know in my case could probably do with a little bit of a, what would you say, a spring clean or a spruce? So I've gone straight into, do you remember this time last year, actually, on Soul Sisters, I was working with your sister-in-law, Julie, from Nomad Design. Mm-hmm. And we had basically, or she had helped me give my place a bit of a facelift. Now, she gave me a list of things to do. Yeah. So one of the things we said that I should probably do is after 5 years, put all the clothes I own into a wardrobe. Revolutionary, guys.
It's what I say to Jamie all the time. We don't live in a shop. We don't need to display all of our things. Put them away.
Where does he leave them?
When he cleans the kitchen, he just pushes things back towards the walls. So like the coffee, the sugar, the olive oil. This is not home store and more, babes. Can we put stuff away, please?
Yeah, so that actually, I realise underneath it all, after having, you know, what is a very colourful, rainbow-esque, what would you say, modern art display in the corner of my bedroom, I actually am a minimalist at heart. So Julie and I had talked about lovely kind of wooden wardrobes, but I decided I went to IKEA. And I also got on an app called AirTasker. Here's the ways to be nice to yourself, lads. I was like, I can't put this together. I don't know anybody who wants to put this together for me. So I'm going to get him. New season, new handyman.
Woo!
Sadun has entered the chat.
Goodbye, Dave.
Goodbye, Dave. Goodbye, Seb. Sadun is here. So I found Sadun on AirTasker. He arrived. He did the most beautiful job. And I walked into my bedroom a few hours later and the man had erected a wardrobe. A wardrobe.
Now tell us about this man. Are you still the perfect host that has the hobnobs, has the tea? Did you lay out the red carpet like you would have for Dave?
That's all gone. That's all gone. And let me tell you why. Because
you're a minimalist now.
I'm a minimalist. First of all, I can't have hobnobs in the bleeding house because I'll just eat them all myself. And second of all, I wanted this guy he was a little bit late. So I said, just get to the task. In fact, I went in after a few hours and remembered he was there. And I said, geez, I didn't even offer the man a glass of water. So I went in and was like, oh, geez, can I get you some refreshment or a glass of water? And he's like, oh, yeah, actually, whoa, is there a shop nearby? I said, there is, 5 minutes away. And off he went and got his own water.
Eileen and Shivy would not be impressed with this. Speaking of hobnobs, every time we go to Dunn's now, Pia is like, hobnobs, hobnobs, hobnobs. When she sees them, hobnobs. I'm like, that was a moment in time. Get on, come on. Hobnobs are over.
All I can do is apologise for that.
There's no hobnobs in my house, let me tell you. So no. That's amazing. It's funny that you say you're a minimalist, yet you bought a huge IKEA wardrobe. So you're a minimalist on the outside, but in your inner world, in your, inside that wardrobe, you're no minimalist.
Well, this is the thing. I want on the outs. I don't. I want my the levels of distraction in my life to lower. And I think if I have a lovely closed wardrobe with everything in there, that's better.
Do you know what? I'm going through, like last week I was saying, you know, for me, a new season of Soul Sisters is very much about new beginnings. It's space.
Mm.
Every time we start a new season of Soul Sisters, it feels like a reset for me. Now, people will say, you know, when I'm in season of the Good Glow, I can't do anything. I can't do anything else. And people are like, but it's a podcast for an hour a week. And I'm like, it doesn't physically take up a lot of space in my life, but mentally it does. Like 99.9% of my brain when I'm in season with the Good Glow is in the Good Glow. And that's why when I come out and into Soul Sisters, it's about quality time with my family. It's about clearing out my house. Now, I have said to Jamie over the last few weeks, we need a skip because my house is full to the brim. There's no room at the inn. There's toys, there's clothes, there's drawers full of things that we haven't used in years. And I said to Jamie, would there be any use in taking every single thing in our house and putting it in the driveway and then putting it back in piece by piece? Now, has anyone ever done this? It would be like moving house, but like moving back into your own house.
It's giving me, have you seen Stacey Solomon's new show, Sort Your Life Out, I think it's called? Very addictive. But like she does the same thing. She goes into a household with a family of, you know, maybe people who are hoarding too many things in different rooms. And then she just decants all of the stuff. And suddenly the home starts to appear.
Oh, yeah, I saw that the other day. Like your home needs to be an ecosystem, not a storage unit.
They are.
I listened to a brilliant podcast. Our friend Mel, she's at times our intense American friend. But I love her. Mel Robbins has such, she has a seat at my table because I will often listen to a Mel Robbins podcast and it will change me. Imagine being able to do that for people. So she did a brilliant podcast recently. It is called, let me get it so I can recommend it, The 7-Day Reset for More Time, Energy and Happiness.
Yes, Mel.
In this podcast, she says the power of a brain dump. So in my brain, there's so much, like last week I said, my diary is in my brain. There's so much in my brain. I need to get back to this person. I need to do this. I need to clear out that drawer. I need to swap my clothes around from winter to summer. You know, all of these things that are holding me back, that are weighing me down. And I can't get to any of it because I'm so overwhelmed by this imaginary list. So Mel said, what you should do is you do a brain dump and you write down everything. Oh, I haven't rang Sinead back in a month. I haven't cleaned out that cupboard. I haven't hung those photos on the wall. Like in my house now, Tally's been around for 18 months. I barely have any photos of her because I just can't get to the printing place. So what Mel said is that you write everything down that's on your list, all those little shitty jobs that are taking up space in your brain. And then what you do is you say, this week, I'm going to cross out ringing back Sinead. Sorry, Sinead, you're not getting your phone call back today. Sorry to the messy kitchen drawer. You're not getting cleaned this week. Realistically, cross out the things. And then that allows you, obviously, to move on from those things. You can write them down again next week. And then you pick one thing on your list and you move that task forward. So say it is a photo wall that you've been threatening to put up in the bathroom for years. You don't have to finish the photo wall this week, but you can click send on the photos to the photo development shop. And at least you've moved one task forward, one tiny step. And I just thought it was genius.
It's interesting in terms of overwhelm. I'm okay with my tasks, but I will definitely do that. I'm going to make a list rather than kind of setting reminders because they're so haphazard. The one thing that causes me overwhelm, I think, is going back to Sinead. There are way too many Sineads not getting a call back or a text back from me. And I feel like it makes me a bad friend.
Oh, do you know what? I have been thinking about this a lot recently. It's interesting that you said that, because how many of us are, and this is for all the Soul Sisters, how many of us are saying that we are bad friends because we're overwhelmed by our devices and a certain app called WhatsApp. So just to be completely honest with you, I think for the last few years, I've been calling myself a bad friend for not being able to get back to people all the time. And it weighs me down. It's on my mind. It's interesting. I did a podcast with Jerry, and he was talking about the difference between guilt and shame. And guilt is when you do something wrong, but shame is I am wrong. Like, I am a bad friend. So the shame that we carry around from maybe not being brilliant on WhatsApp. And the thing that I've stopped calling myself a bad friend or a bad person for not being brilliant at getting back to people, because actually the more I reflected on it and the kinder I was to myself, I am a good friend. You ring me, I'll answer. I will call you on your best days as well as your bad days to congratulate you or cheer for you or clap for you. And yeah, I'm really bad at getting back to people. Maybe I'm just really bad at small talk. I like the deep and meaningfuls. I will be on your doorstep if you're going through a tough time. You showed me that. And just because we're not ninjas at getting back to people, I don't think you should judge yourself on that.
No, you're right. And actually, I was sitting with it a bit and thinking, like, why is it since the dawn of that app that I have lost control of my inbox? Like, why? So my first thought was, is it a focus thing? Like, is my device so full of distraction? Other people's lives on Instagram, that I am no longer prioritizing talking to real people anymore. I'm just watching everybody.
Wow, you know? That's so interesting.
And that drains my battery, Georgie. So therefore, I don't have any energy to go and make conversation with other people.
Yes. So, like, how do we give ourselves a break from that?
Well, I think you're right. It's as simple as what you said. And also, and I often do this on Soul Sisters, let's look at our male counterparts. Let's look at the boys. Boys have this relationship whereby with their friends, which is like, love to see you. I'm going to watch the game. I'll give you a handout if you need something done, maybe, you know, manual labor or something, or for, you know, maybe dinner parties or something. But they don't have this sort of between meetings. I don't think they allow the pressure of constant communication to weigh on their shoulders.
Yes, that's so funny. Like, say, for example, Jamie came home from meeting the lads and he said, Shane went to Vegas. I'd say, and what route did he take to Vegas? What flight did he get? And Jamie would be like, what? You ask such weird questions. And I was like, he told you he went to Vegas and you didn't say, like, did you get a direct flight or what way did you get there? We're so different in how we communicate. They just show up for each other and they're able to just be.
I think so. And also, if you think about it, what's coming to me as well is the meetups then have groups. So groups are spawned from meetups. You have your run gang. You have your book club. You have a birthday plan of people. You have the hockey girls. So you've all these groups of people in your inbox who are constantly chatting. So that's buzzing as well as your nearest and dearest.
Yeah. So there's just so many new ways, new groups, new ways to communicate. Well, I give you a laugh. Guess how many unread emails I have on my phone.
I love this game. Okay, hold on a second. I think you're as catastrophic at this as me. So I'm going to say in the region of, okay, the number that's coming to me very clearly is 48,000.
Ooh. 87,951.
Double. Okay, so I think I'm a little bit better on this front. And I think my work one, I do remember seeing, it was like Manish, who was one of my ex-colleagues. It's like he saw me without my top on or something by mistake. He looked and went at my screen and I went, like, what did you see? And he was like, 14,000 unread messages. I was like, oh yeah, welcome to my world. That, and then very quickly afterwards, they told me I was being made redundant. So Manish, by the way, was not. He was kept on and his inbox was completely empty.
Well, listen, it might be too soon to joke about this, but I love the way you say you're not unemployed, you're fun employed.
Yes.
I mean, that's something we can all take from today's podcast.
And can I also just for one moment speak to the soul sisters like me, perhaps, who are not having babies or child free. I was saying to my pal the other day, I was like, you know what? Like I've had, and now I'm not for a second do I think maternity leave is easy, but I haven't had any time off work in 20 years, like no time away from the coal face. And I will happily put my hand up and say that there have been periods of burnout and workaholism in my history. So actually the longer I am now with, you know, obviously I'm working with Zoe, so it's going to be a part-time setup. But the longer I'm away from a full-time weekly commitment to my career, the better. So I would say to those soul sisters out there who are kind of feeling a little bit burned out or questioning what's next, lean into that. Lean into those questions because the next right step might be to walk away.
Oh. Huge. I wanted to tell you about Victoria Beckham's healthy habits, because last week we spoke about Rory McIlroy's daily routine and it really, I don't know, inspired me to start my mornings a different way. So Victoria Beckham's healthy habits are mainly in the morning. So she gets up at 6 a.m., which I found quite refreshing. It's not 5 or 5:30. Then she has a green smoothie and her anti-inflammatory shot. So I don't know about you, but they're like all the rage now. You see them in the supermarkets, those little tiny shots that people buy, and they can be like 4 or 5 quid. So I am going to start making my own. So Victoria Beckham has fresh ginger, lemon, black pepper and turmeric. And every time I buy one of these in the shop, I'm like, why don't I make these myself? So I have done that. If you head over to my Instagram page, I have recreated Victoria Beckham's anti-inflammatory shot and they're in my fridge in little gorgeous shot glasses. And I think what I'll take from Victoria Beckham's routine is this tiny little snippet of it and have a little shot every single morning.
I will definitely try that because obviously the Tbilisi soup was an absolute winner with the Soul Sisters last season.
Thank you to Colgate for supporting Soul Sisters this season. Did you know Colgate Max White Ultra is the only brand that targets both surface stains and deep stains, making the technology in Ultra even more unique? It whitens your teeth in just 3 days and is enamel safe for daily use. Its whitening technology is backed by science and dental professionals as a product that actually works. And the packaging is so divine, you'll be proud to display it with all your favourite beauty products in your bathroom. Claire, I'm excited to hear your reason to smile this week.
So I used my Colgate Max White Ultra last night before going to the Palladium. The London Palladium, obviously the hallowed halls, like one of the most sought after tickets in town to get to the Palladium. Elaine Page was 60 years in showbiz last night and Zoe Ball was hosting a tribute concert for her. So I sat and watched. Now, I have lived in London for over 10 years. And I think the one thing I haven't done enough of is go to the West End and see musicals.
Yeah.
So I sat and watched like stars of the West End sing some of Elaine's biggest tunes, like Memory from Cats or Don't Cry From Me Argentina from Evita. And honestly, I was like, my mum made sure to bring us to those big shows back in the 80s and 90s when they came to Dublin. Fair play to her. Because honestly, there was a tear in my eye with the memories they were bringing back. So I was singing along and smiling with my pearly whites, and my new colleague and boss, Jeff, was beside me. And I'm
with her sunglasses on.
I'm sure he was like, shut up and close your mouth.
Oh, thanks Colgate for helping us and our soul sisters feel radiant, confident and empowered, as you can tell from Claire's story, in those important life moments where you want to smile like you mean it.
All right, up next, we have been keeping a better track on what we've been saving on Instagram since we've been away. So what have you saved this week then?
This should be like the new book clubs.
Like, yes.
Girls meet up once a week and talk about what you say. Like, there is nothing more important than what you've saved yourself. It's like telling someone about your dream and they're like, I couldn't give an absolute hoot about what you're dreaming of, but you're sitting there and you're telling me anyway. So what did I save on Instagram this week? Well, I got served an absolute gem of a reel a couple of days ago. Michelle Obama has finally come out and spoken about why she didn't attend Donald Trump's inauguration and the fallout from it. So she has a podcast with her brother. Can't quite remember what it's called. But she was speaking to another lady, their guest, and she said that she decided not to go to Donald Trump's inauguration. She didn't feel like it. Now, her quote around this was so brilliant. I looked it up online and took a screenshot. She said, people couldn't believe that I was saying no for any other reason. They had to assume that my marriage was falling apart. It took everything in my power to not do the thing that was perceived as right, but do the thing that was right for me. That was a hard thing for me to do. Now, I really believe that Michelle Obama is a trailblazer for women. She has come out with so many gems over the years, and this is one of them. This is simply back to Martha Beck's way of living. Does it make you feel warm or does it make you feel cold? But I think the more important point that Michelle Obama was making here is not only did she choose the thing that was making her feel warm, which was staying at home that day and not going, it was the fact that because she wasn't playing the role of the good, supportive partner, she had to deal with rumors that she was getting a divorce for 3 to 4 months afterwards. Isn't that insane?
I think it's also testament to the levels that the press and your opponents, so maybe the Republicans, will go to chip away at your reputation. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't go to Trump's inauguration if she had an option to go. Like, obviously a Barack has to be there, but why would she go? Of course she'd say no.
Yeah. So I thought it was really interesting. I love that she's talking about it. I love that she gave it space. Mm-hmm. And what she has probably done is she's reflected on that now and she's come away with this huge learning from it. And sometimes we do have to learn the hard way, or it takes a while for the lesson to come up for us. And now she's sharing it with the world. And I think it's interesting, if we don't show up like good partners, and this works both ways, I feel, as well, that people will say well, there's trouble in paradise. They're not together. Whereas the other person maybe is just doing what fills up their cup on that day.
And you know what's crucial there is what as well in terms of a good long lasting marriage partnership. The more you do separately, actually, and the more then you that the more you cultivate independence and passions away from each other and then bring that back in to the relationship, the better it'll be. Like, you imagine the conversation Barack had with her over a drink when he got home after that inauguration. Oh, yeah. To be a fly on the wall to hear that.
So what did you save on Instagram this week, Claire?
Well, do you know what I love about this time of year? It's the London Marathon time. So my first port of call is the Sidebar of Shame, just to see what the celebs, you know, they always put that picture of like their number, their gels, their trainers. And so I go and see like the Joel Dommetts of this world to see if, you know, yeah, the Harry Judds of this world to see what, you know, what they're wearing for the London Marathon. But actually, if you get on Instagram, there's a load of really feel good content coming out of London from the weekend. And I was trying to work it out. Like, there was one particular reel I saw where there was a guy with a medal coming down the escalator into the tube. And there was a shed ton of people going up. Like, it was probably one of those busiest stations. And people were like screaming, clapping, cheering for him.
This.
Did you see it?
I have to say, when I saw this reel, I had a tear in my eye. There was something like, oh my God, just it was so moving.
Yeah. Londoners say it's the best day of the year in London. You know why that is? Because everyone talks to each other. Everyone looks at each other. Everybody engages with each other. It's like we 364 days a year, we pretend like we don't see each other. And on this one day, we all go, hey! And on a day like that, everybody stops, looks to each other, and like just gets filled up by the enormity of the feat of what people are doing running those 26 miles.
That is absolutely blown my mind. Because when I was looking at that reel, yeah, that's obviously what was so moving about it. It was like, because it was London, because that never happened. So he was coming down the escalator and all the like hundreds of people going up the escalator were like cheering. Everyone was just cheering for him. And he was standing there with his medal looking so shy and stunned, actually, because London came together. But like, even in COVID, though, did you guys come together a bit more, do you think?
Well, they were clapping. We clapped for the NHS. Do you remember everybody came out onto the... And so that was... That actually became... I think it was at 8 p.m. we used to clap. So you used to come out... At 5 o'clock, you'd watch Boris talk nonsense on his pulpit. And then 8 o'clock, you'd come out and be like, well done to the NHS. And that was, I suppose, a moment of solidarity. But truly, it stunned me because we'd be used to, certainly in Dublin, I'd be used to the women's mini marathon. My mum ran it. Like, I would have always been out at it. And like, but I don't think on those occasions, Irish people are surprising in their support of each other. It's just what we kind of do quite naturally. Whereas maybe in other countries, and particularly here in the UK, it's just not commonplace.
Yeah. Wow. There's something so lovely about that coming together and being seen, but also something kind of nice about not being seen. Like, I remember I was walking down Manhattan 2 years ago after doing a podcast with this guy called Billy, who's become my friend now, but he lost his brother in 9/11. And I remember walking through the streets of Manhattan, like bawling, like there was tears like streaming down my face. And I was holding a bouquet of flowers because two of our people had gotten engaged. But I remember just feeling, there was something so lovely about that as well. Just being able to walk through the streets, not know anyone, and just to be able to just go, woo, like a cry.
Yes.
But then, I know, it's kind of like both sides of it, isn't it?
You look like Sarah Jessica Parker. Probably people were like, oh my God, she's just been dumped. Or she's just ended a relationship and your man had given her flowers or something.
That was my Sex and the City moment. And I didn't even know it. So what are you recommending for us this week?
Oh my God. Okay. So I was really, really moved by the death of Pope Francis. And I think the reason was I was on Easter Sunday, I was on the BBC News app and I saw the article about him in his Pope Mobile and coming out and waving to the thousands of people in Rome. And I just thought to myself, I knew he'd been sick for weeks
prior. Jesus, was he out on Sunday?
He was out on Sunday.
God, it was very holy that he died on Easter Monday, wasn't it?
Massive thing. Like, huge. Like, literally, he couldn't, in terms of a legacy, he'll never be forgotten. But I remember just looking at the video and studying him in the pictures. And I thought, God, he doesn't even look like himself, the poor man. Like, bloated and swollen and ill looking. And, wow. The Pope is dead. And how do they choose the next Pope? Hang on a second. There just happens to be a movie all about this that I should watch and I never did watch. The Conclave. And it's Ralph Fiennes. And he's a member of the Catholic, high up in the Catholic Church. And he is involved. He has, in this film, a Pope dies and then they have to make a decision on who is next in line. What was really interesting about Pope Francis and what kind of was also the theme of this movie is those who don't want to be Pope are the ones who you want to be Pope. Those who want to be Pope, power hungry, you know, want the accolade. So this film is so well made, so interesting. And it's kind of, it felt to me like exactly, I'm a lapsed Catholic, but if I was still in the Catholic faith 100%, I would want the church to be this.
Okay.
They address the things they should have addressed in times gone by. And it's a really, really good watch. And also Stanley Tucci's in it. He's excellent.
Brilliant. So funny. I know the occasional time tunes into Soul Sisters, he'll be like, I'm not taking any film recommendations of Claire Solan after that Demi Moore film she recommended.
Substance.
He's still talking about it. He said to me, I called up to him the next day and he goes, I'm after watching that film Claire Solan was talking about. Do you know what happened? She crawled out of her own body in her nude.
Did she? You never watched The Substance?
No.
Oh, it is, you couldn't even put into words how mad that screenplay is.
Okay, so I wanted to recommend, on a very serious note, is an Instagram page that I think every single person in the country and beyond should follow. It's called Learn for Lauren. This Instagram page was set up by Lauren's parents after Lauren passed away after choking. I came across this Instagram page in the last couple of weeks and they are doing the most incredible work on educating people on CPR. And what I did in memory of Lauren, and to honour such a beautiful little girl, was I hosted a CPR class in my house last week with my nearest and dearest. I had the most amazing nurse, Emma Lewis, who I found through Learn for Lauren's Instagram page, come to our house. She's called the Mama Coach. So I will link Emma's Instagram page in the show notes. I'll link Learn for Lauren's Instagram page in the show notes. And I really think if we do one thing for ourselves and those around us, it is to learn CPR. Right. Well, that's it. We will see you next week, Soul Sisters. And don't forget, if you're in Tesco, look out for Colgate Max White Ultra because it's half price until the 2nd of June.
Namaste. Jeez, who is it?
Jamie. Hello? Hey, I'm just wrapping this up here. Yeah. Okay, bye. It's Jamie reminding me to read my 87,000 emails.
Rosa.
Jamie said, can you read my emails? Well, Jamie, you're 87,949 on my list of emails to get through. Okay. Could we have some consideration? Wait in line.
Fortunately.